Detroit, and he's on the other end of our line. Senator, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tony. Good morning to you.
Thanks a lot for being on the program. Now, in a moment or two, we're going to talk about new legislation which would allow a judge to order mortgage adjustments. But I just wanted to get your take on everything that's going on in the city of Detroit. Obviously, what goes on in the D affects the entire state of Michigan. I know that Mayor Dave Bing, who we've had on this program several times, is having a tough challenge in trying to balance budgets, and he's trying to get the unions to work with him and workers, and he's got the school district challenges. What's your take on what's going on in Detroit?
Well, Tony, it's a really rough and tough time to be an elected official, and you're right. The city is going through probably her worst phase of financial and political challenges ever, and I don't think there's ever been a time when both the school district, which is such a representative part of what's happening in Detroit, and the city have been underwater like this. I think, I look at Detroit like she's a patient who has cancer, and she's on the operating table, and we know where the cancer is, and now we're trying to find the best surgeons to come in and fix that problem. I understand as much as anyone that politically Detroit needs to be at the table taking care of her own issues. The problem is, Tony, I fear that we've waited far too long, and there's a law out there that makes some allowances for the state to come in, and I think that's beginning to happen, obviously. But then the bigger problem is that there are a number of signature petition drives out that in the next 30 days, I believe they will gather the requisite amount of signatures to stay the law, and then it goes to the ballot for a vote of the people across the entire state next November. And in the meantime, what happens to all these local governments and these school districts that have been taken over by these rules, where obviously I think because you repealed Public Act 72 with Public Act 4, you actually go back to having the locals control everything. And so, you know, there's some big challenges in front of us, and they could stretch out for the next 12 months.
Senator Johnson, I'm from Mount Clemens, so I've grown up watching Detroit and what goes on down there, and it's been so dysfunctional, and there's been so much mismanagement and dishonesty there. I thought when Mayor Archer was there, it was heading in the right direction, and we probably needed another term from him, but on this radio program, he said it just took too much out of him and out of his family to continue. And then Kwame Kilpatrick got in there and things got even worse. It's almost a culture of just total mismanagement there. Do you think she's ever going to make her way back?
Well, I do, and I'll tell you why. I think that, you know, the Kilpatrick years and the corruption that came with it did us no favor, particularly with our national reputation. But the other side of that coin is that for about the last 30 to 40 years, Tony, we've been headed in a direction, and we never used a rearview mirror. We never used side mirrors, and we never really forecast where exactly we were heading. And what I'm trying to say is that we had the best program of any state, any city in the nation, where we built cars and we built tanks and we built all these things. And we forgot in Detroit that you have to innovate because history continues to repeat itself and industries come and go and your ability to manage them. And we forgot to do that. The other thing that we need to continue to think about is the fact that there is still a major movement afoot in Detroit to regenerate herself. And so citizens are moving in while some are moving out, but new industries and technologies and people that with great ideas are coming home, and we're starting to be attractive to young people. So I have no fear that we're going to turn around. We're going to have to make some major decisions along the way that put us in a good position, though.
Well, I'm not anti-union at all, but it seems like the mayor's having a lot of challenges getting the union to accept the concessions that he feels need to be made so he can try and find balance to the budget. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the unions are right to scoff at those the requests for more concessions, but you know, we also need to understand that politically, this was a major component of Public Act 4 when it was in its inception phase, that the Republicans wanted to find a serious way to do damage and gut the unions. And so you all, I always keep that on the front of my mind. Now, having said that, the unions do need to be at the table making concessions because these are specific extenuating circumstances that require some serious heavy lifting along the way. And everybody who's got anything to put on the table is going to have to do it, not the least of which are the unions.
Can you repeat what you just said regarding the Republicans?
Well, the Republicans, you know, they sat down in a room, I'm sure, because this was the finished product. gutting the unions and letting Michigan and Detroit become ground zero, where, as you know, this is the last labor stronghold in the nation, gutting the unions was a major component of what they wanted to put forth in any opportunity, in any conversation, to have an opportunity to take the unions out the mix and to make them a much, much weaker organization, short of just putting right-to-work legislation on the table.
Really? So you think this was planned, and these people sat down in the room and put together this plan and are implementing it?
I do indeed believe that. I think that the Republicans are some of the most calculating individuals across the country.
Do you have any proof, any ammunition that we could, you know, chew into?
Well, I think you got to look across the state, across the country. You know, states' rights are now what are on the line. And you look at Wisconsin, you look at Ohio, you look at other areas that have done precisely the same thing. And maybe Rick Snyder is just a bit more cunning and a bit more charismatic with respect to not going hard out the gate so that everybody understands what he's doing. But I don't think it's any mistake that the rest of the country has the same type of legislation rolling, and unions are on the back end getting it the worst.
All right.
Working families.
Let's talk about Senate Bill 860. This is new legislation from your perspective that would allow a judge to order mortgage adjustments. Tell us about this.
Right. Well, Tony, I'm extremely proud of this legislation because I think it represents the kind of mindset that you need to have when you're in a minority. You use the majority's strength for running bills to your advantage. And what I'm trying to say is, when they passed the emergency manager rule, they relied on a precedent-setting case, and it's from 1934. It's Blaisdell versus Homeowners Association, and it is a case emanating from Minnesota where essentially the courts held that any contract could be subrogated or interrupted if, in fact, the state was going to then use the subrogation to protect the citizens of her state. And so this, what it does is it resets the market rates on these homes, the mortgages on these homes, down to the market value of the homes. So folks would save money immediately because the banks would have to write down these mortgages. And really, this is nothing new when you consider that the federal government gave millions on millions, up to billions of dollars to banks. And that was taxpayer-funded money. That money was then supposed to be turned right back over to citizens so that they would no longer be underwater with this mortgage foreclosure crisis. That never happened, and so this bill attempts to right that wrong.
Well, the banks aren't going to be very happy about that.
They're not going to be very happy, but I did put a little low-hanging fruit in there for them, and so, and particularly for our community banks who are not involved as heavily in this mortgage foreclosure crisis, what I did was, if your home is reset and you decide to sell it, then 50% of the money that you earn, if the amount of the value goes up, goes back to the banks, and so they can be made whole. And this is one of those good faith efforts that finally citizens are being thought of first in public policy rather than banks.
Senator Johnson, I'm up against the break. I'd like to call your office back and see if we can get you scheduled for tomorrow. I'd really like to talk more about your thoughts about the Snyder administration, as well as Republicans around the country having efforts to try and shut down unions. Would you be up to that conversation?
Tony, I'm always up for your show. I appreciate you including me as well.
All right. I'll give you a buzz and see if we can set that up for tomorrow. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great one.
It's